Good morning, church. Welcome. It's good to be together again today. Welcome to all of you who are joining us online today on this Mother's Day. It's good to be God's people in worship together as we pursue our mission together. And we remember today, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Our ushers are passing connection pads here. Leave us your name if you would. And online, if you'll connect with us, we'd appreciate that, and let us know you're worshiping with us or how we might connect and help you. Let us know how we can pray for you. Do that with the cards here, or go to our website, mcfarlandumc.org, and click on the prayer request button on the front page, and we will pray with you and for you as the days unfold. We want you to know that on Saturday, May 21, the Norman Philharmonic is coming back to this facility to bring music to the community from Beethoven, Reinberger's Organ Concerto, and Haydn, etc. It's a great time to invite people to come and experience great music, introduce children to great music, and introduce people to this facility in our church. And so I'd invite you to consider that as a part of your outreach to the community. We are glad that they've chosen to host to be hosted here, and you can go to their website for more information. On the next day, May 22, Sunday, we're having a Return to Laughter lunch out on the North Lawn. The United Methodist Men will be providing a free cookout, and so we hope you'll come and stay on that day 2 weeks from now so we can laugh together. We're going to have classic carnival games. We're going to have a dunking booth. And I'm looking forward to, you know, who I might help go in the water. So I'm not looking. Where is that guy? Oh, he's down there. I'm talking about Scott Meyer, our director of missions. But speaking of Scott Meyer, our director of missions, you're going to hear about missions today in a special highlight. And I'm looking forward to that and appreciate Scott's leadership. We continue our sermon series today, Return to Laughter. Today, focusing on the joy that makes us whole. Let's stand to sing our first hymn, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee, number 89.
Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord. Would you please join me on our return to Laughter Creek? We believe in God who made us in our Creator's image. We live, we love, because we bear likeness to the one who has created and is creating us. We believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, our Lord and Savior. We have the last laugh on the sting of death because of the risen one. We believe in the Holy Spirit who works within us, our counselor, our God, who motivates us to the return to life. Forgive us, Lord, when we make ourselves too seriously, when we don't accept the joy that is ours as your children, when we forget that you will have the last laugh in this world. Restore to us the joy of our salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
I'm excited this morning to get to share with you a video that has been put together by Kristen Howard, who's McFarland's chief storyteller, about our recent spring break mission. As you know, we've been working in the Rio Grande Valley since 1994, first in Mexico, and then since 2011, we've been serving in South Texas. And thanks to you, truly, thanks to the people of McFarland, we have been making lasting impacts. We've been changing lives to those people we have the opportunity to serve, and those of us who have served have seen lasting impact in our own lives. I want to give you two quick examples that you'll see in the video. The first example, you will see a building in the very beginning of the video, two pictures of a building. One is a two-story building under construction, and then you'll see the finished building, it's painted blue. In 2007, 8, and 9, the McFarland mission teams built a kindergarten in Nuevo Progreso, Mexico. That building is no longer used as a kindergarten. It is now a Methodist children's home, home to over 40 children. And what a blessing it is to know that these children's lives are being impacted. They have a safe living environment, an incredible campus. The second lasting impact that you'll have the chance to see is you'll hear from a young lady named Nayeli. Nayeli is the young woman who we built the first house from the ground up in 2015. You remember that her family experienced a tragic event when her sister lost her life. Her sister and her sister's unborn child lost their life when two perpetrators of an assault on her sister's life burned down the house to cover up what they did. And today, Nayeli is a community activist working to bring the residents of her colonia together. And we had the opportunity this year to add on a deck to the house. And she had her first community gathering on the deck of this house last week. And she sent me a message about how excited she was that they had this new gathering place. And I wish I could express to you just the words that she had for me for me to be able to express true thanks to all of you. These are just two testaments of the lasting work that McFarland continues to do. And we not only have lasting impacts in the Rio Grande Valley, but we have lasting impacts here in Norman and literally around the world. And if God is ever tugging at your heart, if you're ever asking yourself, how can I be more involved in missions? How can I be more involved in lasting impacts? Let's have a conversation, because I truly believe that we are being called to be a missional church. And so thank you very much, McFarland. Thank you for your continued support, your constant support, not only for spring break, but for all that we do around the world. I hope you enjoy this video.
Jesus taught us by example that building relationships outside our own local communities is vital for the kingdom of God to flourish and grow. For the last 25 plus years, we've been building relationships with ministries in the Rio Grande Valley of South Texas. We've been building houses, repairing parsonages and churches, hosting VBS programs, and seeing God move in amazing ways. After a two-year pause during the pandemic, we sent a McFarland mission team to the Valley over this past spring break to continue the work that Jesus is calling us to do.
The church is alive and well and continue to be a testimony to the world through these partnerships.
Our entire mission statement is changing lives that change the world, being able to come down here and like have these relationships with these communities and help them is changing their lives and going on to change the world.
In 2013, we lost our home. It became a crime scene, and the two individuals that, you know, did the homicide, they burned our home. We didn't only lose our home, but we also lost two loved ones. So it was my sister, and she was pregnant. I was devastated. I was losing hope. I want to also emphasize on how grateful I am for the house that was built. You are motivated me and helped me that, you know, I'll be able to continue helping others and making an impact in this world and in this house because of you all.
Through this trip, God provided us with ways to bring Jesus's transformative love to others. Building wheelchair ramps has provided freedom and newfound access to travel and resources. Hosting VBS at a local church provided a way to experience the infectious joy and love of Jesus. and building an outdoor meeting space for a neighborhood youth organization provided a tangible expression of support for this community. And giving a local church building some much-needed repairs and improvements gave the congregation a beautiful and sacred space to worship and grow together. This work is all thanks to the partnerships we continue to cultivate.
One of the key values we emphasized during our trip was not how successful completing our projects were, but the significance of our engagement. The impact made on the people we work with came not simply from a physical or material standpoint, but from a deeper spiritual place. Engaging in relationships with people and showing them that we care through our actions has allowed the Holy Spirit to work in people's hearts and show them the hope only Jesus can offer.
We're very grateful to have McFarland join us for the second year. We're very grateful. The children not only have fun just for a week, but they also get to learn the Word of God. And hopefully they remember it and they can come back again next year. And if not, that they can join our church to learn more of God.
Normally, our church here in La Feria, we build one ramp a month. So far, we've built six ramps. As of today. Tomorrow, Lord willing, we will build two more.
First day we had Eddie, then the next day we had Vicky, and then yesterday we had Anna. The first day I was talking to Eddie, and he said some services came out to his house, and he didn't qualify for any of them because he didn't have a ramp to his house. But now that he has a ramp, he can actually get the assistance that he needs.
Before we leave every work site, Pastor Fred gathers us together with the homeowner, and we have a little devotional prayer. We talk about the work we've done.
The group just huddles around the person in a loving way that has just given people just joy, because they see that there's hope in their lives for whatever they're going through. It's more than just building a ramp.
This place has not only, you know, helped my family and I, but it has really been a meeting point for a lot of the things that we do through Strides Profani, Ascensos Profani. You know, this is the organization that I started in honor of my sister 1 year later after the homicide. A lot of times I've had to, you know, reschedule or like find other places to meet because my property is flooded. I think that deck specifically will help to, you know, when we have a smaller group, you know, we can definitely meet there. He always calls us to help, you know, thy neighbor and love thy neighbor, and you know, you all are putting that into practice, so it's amazing. I'm just super thankful and I'm happy.
Seeing the beautiful, transformative love of Jesus in action doesn't just impact people in the Rio Grande Valley. Relationships with God and each other have flourished through faithful engagement and presence. Finding community through service has given our students and adults passion and joy that will carry on long after the trip is over.
We talked a lot about just like stories that like impacted us in the Bible of just like Jesus doing something that's maybe not like supernatural, but still super significant, and people like marveled at it. It really showed me just more about how like you don't need to be able to walk on water, turn water into wine, to like show people that you care and to like make an impact on people.
How people with so little love to give so much and like such a big portion of what they have to other people has really impacted me and made me want to do the same, like spend my free time or my breaks like helping people. So that's why I continue to come back, because again, it's just like such an eye-opening experience, and also just like it's something small that I can do to help other people.
You know, I've had students talk to me about feeling burnt out and exhausted, and they come and they work harder than they do at home, they sleep worse than they do at home, and yet they're full of this energy and the spirit. When they go back, they can say, I want more of that. I want more of what it's like to follow Jesus in my everyday life. I want to know what it's like for the Holy Spirit to be moving and guiding me. And even if I don't know what I'm doing, or if I'm not very good at it, I can learn and I can grow. And it matters that I matter.
I love McFarland so much. And these mission trips have just been like such a stepping stone in my life every time I go on one. And this is also the first mission trip that I've been on that Austin is the youth director, which I know Scott is still here, but it's just like not only finding growth in myself, but in others around me, including my adults.
There's a church out in Oklahoma that has come to be a blessing to me as a pastor and into so many communities. So I'll always take that with me wherever I go, in whatever appointment I'm at. So congregation of McFarland, you know, blessings to you, and that the Lord continue to bless this church and it continue to grow and in the spirit and the love of Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together. Lord of the one true vine, you live and move and are present with us in all ways. God, we are your branches, spindly and slight and fragile. And by your grace, you prune us so that we might grow. We do want to bear more of your fruit. And on this day, we remember our mothers and our grandmothers, our aunts, and those like mothers to us. For our mothers who have given us life and love, that we may show them reverence and love, we pray to the Lord. For mothers who have lost a child through death, that their faith may give them hope and their family and friends support and console them, we pray to the Lord. For women, though, without children of their own, who like mothers have nurtured and cared for us, we pray to the Lord. For mothers who have been unable to be a source of strength, who have not responded to their children and have not sustained their families, we pray to the Lord. Loving God, as a mother gives life and nourishment to her children, so you watch over your church. Bless these women that they may be strengthened as Christian mothers. Let the example of their faith and love shine forth. And grant that we, their sons and daughters, may honor them always with a spirit of profound respect. Grant this through Christ our Lord. And we pray together now the prayer that he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and join us in singing hymn 92, For the Beauty of the Earth, 92.
Oh,
It is a real joy to celebrate with you today that after our First Fruits Sunday last week, which is when we asked people to actually give an amount of their pledge, we have already collected over 30% of just the $4.2 million goal for the upgrades and maintenance of this building. And of course, we have already received the $2 million gift, which goes to fund our mission center, which means that we actually have collected already over 50% of our entire $6.2 million goal. That is incredible. Yes. Normally, churches expect to receive 10 to 15% on First Fruit Sunday. We are well on our way. And so thank you for your incredible generosity and faithfulness. And now as we come to this time where we give to support the ministries of the church, we remember that God is the God of the harvest, the supreme gardener who feeds us, who equips us, nurtures us, and calls us to fruitfulness in a life of service to him and to others. And so may God bless our tithes and our offerings today. You may be seated.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 15, verse 1 up to 11. Won't you hear his word? I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my word abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you may bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandment, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is the word of God to the people of God.
Let us pray. Oh God, we pray that your Spirit would so enlighten us that we might hear what we need to hear, that our lives might be enriched, that we might be enabled and equipped for the mission we have to share your joy with the world. In the name and the way of Jesus, amen. You know, most families love to play and laugh as a part of life, of the practices of life and the rituals of life. And I remember, of course, when our son and daughter were kids and we played a game that we called tickle torture. Now, I think we could have probably come up with a better name, but that name stuck probably because we laughed so hard our sides would ache. Well, the way it would go is I would grab them, of course, and tickle them mercilessly, blow on their bellies and tickle their feet, tickle every spot I could imagine that might make them laugh. And then they would go scheming to see how they could do the same to me. And I would always start the game, a gleam in my eye and moving my fingers and coming toward them as they began to kind of scream and scatter. And I would say, it's time for tickle torture. So they would just laugh and laugh and laugh. Finally, they were laughing so hard like they could hardly get out a word, and they would say, stop, stop, stop. And then there came a time when they could take me down, and I had to say the same thing. We would end up breathless, relaxed, and happy. Our delight in life and each other, at least for that time, of course, changed, strengthened. The trouble of the day was set aside by the joy. It was good for our heart and minds, our spirits and our bodies. It was laughter and joy that nurtured our relationships, that helped heal and make us whole. Joy has a way of strengthening both our delight in living and our determination in struggle. Joy and laughter invite and open us to the love of God that's at work in our relationships. In the reading from the Gospel of John, we hear that closing statement where Jesus talks about his joy and your joy, the joy of the disciples and the joy of their teacher and Lord. And that language is found several times in the Gospel of John. But the question might be, what is his joy? What is that joy that can be fully operative in us? Well, when we step into this gospel and we hear that paragraph, at the end of it, Jesus says, I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full or complete. What does that mean? How does that happen? And how does it become true in people like us? We know that Jesus is here speaking to disciples, preparing them for a time when they will be challenged and ostracized. We know that John is making the point when he writes this gospel to his congregation or his first readers, that they will be strengthened when it comes time, and there was a time in his historical setting when they were pushed out of their congregation of faith, that they could still delight in their status as followers of Jesus. But how is it that we find that the joy of God that resides in Jesus can provide strength for our lives? You might know that there is a famous biblical quote or statement often used on plaques and in songs and online, etc. There's probably a meme for it on Facebook. It says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That statement is found in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. The setting is in Jerusalem about 400 years before Jesus. And so after decades of exile in Babylon, the exiles have returned and rebuilt both the temple and the wall around the city, and they are resettling into a new normal. And then, sort of like people gathering for worship, the people gather in the town square, and they ask the resident priest, theologian, pastor, leader, to bring the books of Moses, the instructions of God for living together, and read them. They want to hear the stories and the teachings that they've heard before. So in what sounds like a marathon session, Ezra stands up on a wooden deck, apparently assembled for this public event, and reads what we know as the books of the law in the Hebrew Bible, starting early in the morning until about noon. You think worship's too long sometimes? This is like 7 a.m. to noon, listening to the scripture read. So the people praise God, and they also put their faces on the ground in a posture of prayer and worship. And those who read the books of the law also give interpretation of the meaning and the sense of it, we're told, beyond the actual words. And the strangest thing happens. The crowd of people begins to cry, to weep, to mourn. They do this when they hear the words of God's instructions and wisdom. Like people who cry or shed tears when we hear a voice we have longed to hear, or hear a song that carries great memory and meaning, or experience a movie that tugs at our hearts. The people are so struck by the renewal of such wisdom and worship that they weep. Probably what they feel is tainted by the sorrow of regretting both lost time in exile and a diminished faithfulness. Generations having been absent from home now are gathered in an experience in these people of remembrance and renewal, and realizing that they had not been fully faithful to the teachings, they feel the sorrow of mistakes made and wisdom forgotten. But Nehemiah and the interpreters and teachers of the day invite the people to dry their tears. They tell them to silence the sounds of grief and engage the day as a festive experience. This day is holy to the Lord your God, they say. Do not mourn or weep. They encourage the people to eat rich and satisfying food and drink sweet wine and to be sure to share those enjoyments with others who don't have them and need that kind of nourishment or encouragement. And then comes that famous statement from Nehemiah, "Do not be grieved. The joy of the Lord is your strength." Do not be broken down by sorrow. There is good news. The holiness of God becomes evident in what Nehemiah calls the joy of the Lord. So we might ask, what exactly is the joy of the Lord? This joy that in some way functions to strengthen, to heal the sin-sick soul, like that proverbial balm of Gilead, that is able to embolden our heart and mind with stamina and tenacity when we face trials and regrets and consequences of our mistakes and sin and other kinds of challenges. Well, after studying the speeches of Jesus and some other scriptures in the Hebrew Bible about this, I believe that the joy of the Lord refers specifically to the delight, desire, and design of God to make people whole, to fill us with the joy of life, that our joy may be full. In those three words, beginning with D, delight, desire, and design, we hear an apt description of the grace and the true nature of God. God is delighted with creating life and inviting people to embrace and give thanks for the goodness of life. God is filled with a joyful desire that we thrive and flourish as we navigate tough, sometimes tragic realities. God's design or intention and constant urging is that we faithfully engage life in the most meaningful and constructive and life-giving ways. The joy of the Lord is God's grand, majestic, and beautiful, delighted desire that, as Jesus says, we experience life in profound abundance, wholesome relationships of love and caring. God's desire, of course, is not a license for simply some sort of happy self-satisfaction, eat, drink, and be merry, and let the rest of the world go on their way. But as Jesus says, it's a compelling invitation to love one another, to keep His commandments, and to love our enemies even. It's our call to cooperate with God by delightfully desiring and designing to deliver healing joy to others. Well, from the picture Jesus paints in the gospel, portraying God as the vine grower who tends the vineyard, pruning and caring so that the branches will flourish and bear fruit, it becomes clear that God delights, desires, and designs the flourishing of all God's creation as another way of saying, "Your kingdom come, your will be done." Back in January, as we began this year, I preached a sermon launching our theme. The theme is Flourish for 2022. I talked about the five components of flourishing: positive emotions, engagement in spiritual experience, realizing purpose and meaning, accomplishing what is holy and loving, and then enjoying healthy relationships. And I believe God delights in our experience of all of these. I believe God desires that everyone has access to such experience. I believe God has designed both nature and the nurture of faith so that we and everyone, our world, might flourish. Such joyful intent of the Lord is the strengthening energy that both nurtures and heals relationships, even during times of our most difficult trials and duress. In an article titled "The Science of Laughter," neuroscientist Sophie Scott tells us that laughter is primarily a social behavior, primarily something that's connected with relationships. We are 30 times more likely to laugh with someone else than we are on our own. And mostly we are not laughing at jokes. When we're with others, we're laughing at statements and comments, etc. But we are laughing. We laugh to show that we like people. We laugh to show that we understand them and agree with them or are affiliated with them. We laugh as if to say we're family, we're friends, we're friends in the faith. It's much more than just because something is inherently funny. Shared laughter and joy does its constructive and healing work connected to and for the good of relationships. As Jesus teaches, the joy of the Lord can be our strength most profoundly when we remain connected, deeply connected, when we abide and reside both in close connection with God and close connection with others. Joy works like God works, in relational interplay and interwork, in networks of families, faith communities, and circles of friends and neighbors, of course. It is God's delight and desire and design that we find strength in our weakness, wholeness in our brokenness, and healing, even if not curing, in our sickness. The joy of healthy relationships is the conduit, the avenue for experiencing the joy of the Lord as our strength. A few Sundays ago, I told a story about a snake dropping in a canoe when a bunch of college friends were out on the Illinois River. And some of those same friends and I made our way to Fort Smith, Arkansas on another occasion for a wedding of our friends. Late night, after the rehearsal dinner, we groomsmen decided to have a little fun. And so the gate to the swimming pool in the courtyard was locked. It was past hours. And we went to Bill's room and arrested him out of his room in his t-shirt and skivvies and took him down the stairs and out there and over the fence and threw him in the pool. And we laughed and laughed. We thought it was hilarious, and he was a pretty good sport about the whole thing. And then the security guard came, running us off, and we jumped the fence, and we ran off, and Bill gets over the fence, and he's just sopping wet, dripping, and he starts running, shuffling on the concrete towards the stairway, and just as he gets to that stairway, his foot slips, and there's a steel plate on the bottom of the bottom step, and all five toes meet that steel plate. It's not a pretty sight. Well, the next day, his toes are a collage of blue and purple and black, and he's in a lot of pain. We were sorry, of course, realized that we were a sorry lot of friends to cause that to happen. Bill was in so much pain, but then we came to the time for the wedding. Tuxedos on, we were making our way into that room beside the chancel with the minister before we would come out. And Bill was limping horribly. I guess we weren't quite so sorry, because to confess our utter youthful degradation as his friends, we decided that we would limp like him as we followed him out. Now, as a minister, I would not allow that. So the minister opened the door on the cue of the music and walked out, and Bill stepped through the door, and when he stepped through the door, he stopped limping. He had stuffed those swollen toes into that glossy dress shoe, and he stopped limping, and he went out there, and we almost stumbled over our embarrassed feet ourselves. And there he stood, and he recited his vows, and he sang to his bride, and no one would have known about the escapade the night before. Later at the reception, Beth, his bride, came over to where we were standing, interrupted our conversation, and with a smile on her face that belied something else in her heart, she wagged her finger at us and said, "I will be at your wedding." Yeah, we chuckled a very nervous laugh. I'm still waiting for that to come to fruition. Not the wedding, the revenge. opening to the joy found in relationships, to the joy of the Lord's delight and desire for our joy, can bring healing, can bring respite, can help us bracket out the pain and the turmoil so that we can catch our breath. When we dare to laugh and rejoice, we may even find some help in the healing of our bodies. We know that the body and soul, the heart and our biology are truly integrated, and the laughter that leaves us breathless and our sides aching can also leave us a bit healthier. You probably know, research has shown that that kind of mirthful, all-in, deeply engaged laughter can even strengthen our immune system by increasing the response of the NK cells, those natural disease killer cells and T cells. And so when we laugh, not only that can happen, but our brain releases endorphins, reduces stress hormones and blood pressure, and increases circulation. It's just right for us to believe that God's delight and desire for us to experience life as full and satisfying even shows up in laughter, in the laughter of relationships, in the joy of being together, another gift of God's design for life. The joy of the Lord is indeed God's delight and desire and design to fill our world and our lives with the abundance of what we call shalom, that it is well with my soul assurance, with what we call joy. The joy of the Lord, the joy that strengthens our ability to live, to endure, and even to flourish. So laugh then, wherever you may be. God is the Lord of the laugh, say we. May it be so. Let us pray. Oh God, you know us. We have reasons to cry, reasons for fear. But we know that your joy and delight, your desire for us is beyond that, is deeper than that, is wider than that, higher than that. And so we pray that we might be able to open ourselves to the joy that brings us healing and makes us whole. In the name and the way of Jesus, amen. Would you stand to sing our hymn number 75? And now may the God of all hope fill you with such joy, deep joy, wide joy, holy joy, and peace in believing that hope may abound in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.